Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, Pets in the Workplace. We'll hear from different perspectives on the benefits and responsibilities of having pets join us at work. November is National Pet Cancer Awareness Month, and we'll learn about the benefits of adopting a senior pet. So we're going to start with the Petco Foundation's signs of cancer in dogs and cats. If cancer is detected early, it can be treated more effectively. So it's important to check your dogs and cats regularly for the 10 early warning signs as recommended by the Veterinary Cancer Society. If your dog or cat has any of these early warning signs of cancer, you should take him or her to the veterinarian as soon as possible for a more complete examination. In addition, you should keep your pet away from environmental toxins like lawn fertilizers and surface and rug cleaners that have warning labels relative to children and pets. Many veterinarians see a link between environmental toxins and cancer. The first warning sign is swollen lymph nodes. These glands are located throughout the body but are mostly easily detected between the jaw or behind the knee. When these lymph nodes are enlarged, they can suggest a common form of cancer called lymphoma. A biopsy and cytology of these enlarged lymph nodes can aid in the diagnosis. 2. Enlarging or changing lump. Any lump on a pet that is rapidly growing or changing in texture or shape should have a biopsy. Lumps belong in biopsy jars, not on pets. 3. Abdominal distension. When the stomach or belly becomes rapidly enlarged, this may suggest a mass or tumor in the abdomen, or it may indicate some bleeding that is occurring in this area. A radiograph or an ultrasound of the abdomen can be very useful. The fourth warning sign is chronic weight loss. When a pet is losing weight and you have not put your pet on a diet, you should have your pet checked. This sign is not diagnostic for cancer, but can indicate that something is wrong. 5. Chronic vomiting or diarrhea. Unexplained vomiting or diarrhea should prompt further investigation. Often, tumors of the gastrointestinal tract can cause chronic vomiting and/or diarrhea. Radiographs, ultrasound examinations, and endoscopy are useful diagnostic tools when this occurs. 6. Oral odor. Oral tumors do occur in pets and can cause a pet to change its food preference, i.e. from hard to soft foods, or cause a pet to change the manner in which they chew their food. Many times a foul odor can be detected in pets with oral tumors. A thorough oral examination with radiographs or CT scan necessitating sedation is often necessary to determine the cause of the problem. 7. Unexplained bleeding. Although bleeding disorders do occur in pets, they usually are discovered while pets are young. If unexplained bleeding starts when a pet is old, a thorough search should be undertaken. 8. A cough. A dry, non-productive cough in an older pet should prompt chest radiographs to be taken. This type of cough is the most common sign of lung cancer. Please remember, there are many causes of cough in dogs and cats. 9. Lameness. Unexplained lameness, especially in large or giant breed dogs, is a very common sign of bone cancer. Radiographs of the affected area are useful for detecting cancer of the bone. And 10. Straining to urinate. Straining to urinate and blood in the urine usually indicate a common urinary tract infection. If the straining and bleeding are not rapidly controlled with antibiotics or are recurrent, cancer of the bladder may be the underlying cause. A cystoscopy or other techniques that allow a veterinarian to take a biopsy of the bladder are useful and sometimes necessary to establish a definitive diagnosis in these cases. And there you have it. Now, November is National Adopt a Senior Pet Month. Did you know it? Dog Time reminds us that November is National Adopt a Senior Pet Month, a month dedicated to helping older pets find loving forever homes. Shelters and rescues across the country hope those looking to adopt a new furry friend will consider adding a senior pet to the family this month. If you care about sweet senior animals, help spread the word throughout November. We can help older pets find homes together. Many people walk into a shelter or scour a rescue's website hoping to adopt a new puppy or kitten, completely overlooking the perfectly adoptable older dogs and cats in kennels and cages in their search. In many cases, the absolute most difficult group of homeless pets to place are older dogs and cats. Senior pets tend to spend the longest amount of time at a shelter or rescue before finding their forever homes. That's if they find one at all. Older canines and felines of advanced age have higher euthanasia rates than their younger counterparts. They can often live the rest of their lives in a shelter. Facts like these make National Adopt a Senior Pet Month so important. The benefits of adopting senior pets. Facts like these make National Adopt a Senior Pet Month so important. The benefits of adopting senior pets. People need to consider senior pets. Lisa Boston, shelter manager at the Joplin Humane Society in Joplin, Missouri, tells KOAM-TV, young animals need lots of patience, energy, and consistent training to help them become well-adjusted family pets. There are plenty of benefits to selecting an older pet over a younger one. Because senior pets are typically calmer and less energetic than puppies and kittens, it's easier to teach them new tricks. In fact, many senior pets are already pros at performing basic commands. Their low-key natures can also make them ideal for households with children. Senior pets are easier to handle. What some adopters of younger pets are unprepared for is what hard work it can be to house train a new puppy or kitten. You have to spend copious amounts of time training a new puppy to do their business outdoors or teach a kitten to remember where the litter box is. But older pets have often come to the shelter after years of living in a home, so they are usually already house trained, saving you from weeks, months, or even, in some cases, even years of stress. Understanding the personality of an animal is key to finding the perfect match for your family and for that homeless pet. While young puppies and kittens are still developing their personalities, you'll know right away whether a senior dog is a snuggle bug or a senior cat is more of an independent spirit. What you see is what you get, explains Joplin Humane Society Shelter Services Manager Connie Andrews. Senior pets take out the guesswork about how big a dog will get, what the kitten's personality will be like when it grows up, or how much energy that puppy will have as an adult. What do you get when you adopt a senior pet? Adopters who add a senior pet to the family often get an entirely different level of satisfaction from the adoption experience, says Boston. You are truly saving a life that someone else turned away from, she explains. Senior pets have so much love and compassion still to share, and they make the most amazing companions. Bringing an older pet home from the shelter or rescue can have its own unique challenges, Boston admits. Sometimes, because the pet is at an advanced age, there can be some extra health issues to consider. Owning a senior pet is not necessarily cheap, Boston explains. They need regular vet care to ensure that they keep their good health and may need dental care and preventive vet care, like blood work. But that by no means should deter someone from adopting a senior pet, Boston says. Depending on breed, lifestyle, and existing health issues, a senior dog or cat can still have plenty of healthy and happy years to give as your loving companion. Senior pet adopters don't regret it. Apparently, once an adopter goes senior, they may say they will never go back to adopting a young whippersnapper. Senior pets make some of the most grateful adoptees. Shelter manager of the Francis Vale Home for Smaller Animals in Radnor, Pennsylvania, Heather Hennessy, tells Mainline Media News. When an adopter comes along to take them in and give them comfort in their later years, they're so grateful they treat you like a hero, Hennessy says, of senior dogs and cats. Are you interested in adopting a senior dog or cat in honor of National Adopt a Senior Pet Month? You can check out the Adoptable Animal Finder on dogtime.com and cattime.com. Performing a simple search for a senior pet yields plenty of results and can help you find the perfect dog or cat to complete your family. And now, Business.com tackles the question, pets in the workplace, is it a good or a bad idea? By Kim Tracy Prince, Business.com writer. Imagine how awesome it would be if your dog or cat could come to work with you. You'd de-stress by petting him. He'd entertain you by walking across your keyboard, and you'd have something to talk about with that awkward coworker who comes to your cubicle and doesn't quite know how to say hello. Some people don't have to imagine it because their employers already allow pets at work. And some people don't like the idea of it at all. In most cases, allowing pets to come to work really means dogs. We even have National Take Your Dog to Work Day every June, but there are companies that welcome birds, cats, and assorted other animals. Like most variables in life, whether it's a good or bad idea to allow pets in the workplace depends on the people and the environment. Why allowing pets in the workplace is a good idea? It improves morale. Businesses that allow furry or feathered friends to come to work with employees tend to have creative, open working environments. It helps when the corporate culture places an emphasis on its employees' experiences at work. Innovative employers like Google and Zynga, where every day is Bring Your Dog to Work Day, and pet-focused companies like Purina welcome employees to bring their pets to work with them in order to improve work-life balance, stress reduction, and employee productivity. After all, as Purina's careers page says, the best associates are healthy and happy and lead full lives. It also attracts younger talent. The desire to bring pets to work is a growing trend among millennial employees. If they are allowed to bring their dogs to work, for example, they save on doggy daycare fees. They're more likely to be focused and more willing to stay late since they're not rushing home to let their pets out. It helps employees bond, which motivates good work. Katie Papa, supervising producer at Pietown Productions in Los Angeles, says having dogs in the office contributes to the family feel that this company has, and it also raises the cuteness quotient considerably. Pietown is the company that produces the long-running House Hunters television series on HGTV and many other successful series. Having animals around has shown to facilitate employees interacting with one another where they wouldn't normally venture outside their comfort zones. Sometimes it's easier to talk to a coworker if there's a pet around to break the ice. Smaller companies, especially ones whose function revolves around pets and animals, are more likely to have looser guidelines about appropriate behavior for its employees who bring pets to work. Pietown wisely incorporated more formal guidelines once the practice became so popular. Pietown Productions has always had a generous Bring Your Dog to Work Day policy, says Papa. The underwritten rules have always been that your dog needs to be housebroken, friendly, and relatively quiet. As the company has grown, the policies become slightly stricter. You have to sign up to bring your dog. And there is a maximum of 3 dogs allowed on any given day. This prevents an onslaught of dogs and lessens the risk of any unintentional doggy distractions. When pets in the workplace are a bad idea. When one or more coworkers have allergies or a fear of animals. The presence of an animal could understandably cause a true threat to someone's well-being and sense of safety. Allergies can be considered official disabilities that should be respected in the workplace. At Google, people with animal allergies have the last word on whether it's cool for the office, their office mates, to bring their pets into the work environment. When the landlord doesn't allow it, is another bad idea. Some businesses might actually embrace and really desire to have friendly, fun animals around to brighten everyone's day, but the building they're in simply restricts their presence. Hands are tied. When the workplace is sterile or produces or serves food, you wouldn't want a shedding dog in a laboratory or a cafe where sterile supplies, meals, or manufactured products are made or packaged. If the animals are distracting or otherwise curb productivity. Heather Concoli worked at an office where pets were welcome, but only because everyone respected that not all animals are suitable for the workplace. Yes, some employees had dogs that they knew would not react well in that environment, so those pups had to stay home, she recalls. It worked out well with employees because being smart about it, not to ruin it for everyone else. Plus, even the most docile animals require care and supervision and breaks for relieving themselves. When too much time is taken up by animal breaks, depending on the work, their presence might be counterproductive. When the office or workplace isn't good for the pets, noisy or hazardous work environments like construction sites, machining facilities, or mining operations can be very loud and disturbing to pets, not to mention dangerous for animals to be wandering loose and potentially getting injured. And if you're worried about legal liability, you can be held responsible for personal injury or property damage done by employees' pets or even the pets of customers who bring them into your workplace, your place of business. And let's face it, even the most docile animals can attack people or other pets or destroy property. If you're job hunting, you can choose. If you're a pet lover and you wish you could take your pooch to the office, job search tools now allow you to search for companies that welcome pets at work. And it's worth looking into a larger company's benefits or code of conduct webpage before you apply to see if they embrace the pets at work perk. These tools work even if you're more comfortable at a no pet workplace, too. The American Animal Hospital Association reports studies show that pets in the workplace are good business. This by Tony McReynolds, June of 2019. Studies continue to show that allowing employees to bring their pets to work is good business because it's good for employee morale and that's good for the bottom line. Take Your Dog to Work Day was created by Pet Sitters International in 1999 to celebrate what great companions dogs make and to promote their adoption. Take Your Dog to Work Day is always celebrated on the Friday following Father's Day. Although the idea of a special day for taking pets to work originated in 1999, corporate America didn't really start to catch on until the publication of a groundbreaking 2012 study conducted by researchers at Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU. That study found that dogs in the workplace helped reduce stress in their owners and made work more satisfying for other employees with whom the dogs came in contact. A recent study by Nationwide Pet Insurance in partnership with the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, or HABRI, reinforces VCU's findings. More than three times as many employees at pet-friendly workplaces report positive working relationships with their boss and coworkers, significantly more than those in pet-friendly environments. (clears throat) The nationwide study also showed that pet-friendly companies are more successful at attracting and retaining employees, especially millennials. Compared to their baby boomer and Generation X counterparts, millennials are far more likely to value a pet-friendly work environment. More significantly, these employees are more likely to stay with a company long-term. In fact, the nationwide study found that 90% of employees in pet-friendly workplaces feel highly connected to their company's mission, are fully engaged with their work, and are willing to recommend their employer to others. In contrast, less than 65% of employees in non-pet-friendly workplaces made the same claims. Companies interested in reaping the benefits of creating a pet-friendly workplace can find helpful tips and tools by checking out the latest episode of The Woofus, a pet-centric parody of hit sitcom The Office, released by Zoetis Pet Care and Habry. As part of the Pet Effect campaign, The Woofus details research supporting the benefits of pet-friendly workplace and offers practical tools for employers interested in creating one. With the millennial pet owners driving demand for more pet-friendly offices, the Woofus is incredibly timely, says Stephen Feldman, Habry Executive Director. It is Habry's genuine hope that the Woofus videos and campaign content catch on and inspire people to take steps to create pet-friendly workplaces so that the benefits of strong and healthy human-animal bonds can not only be experienced at home, but also every weekday from 9 to 5. If you do want to check out the Woofus, you can find it at habry.org/thepeteffect/thewoofus. Oh, and this is for employers. The University of Southern California, on their Applied Psychology degree webpage, has this take geared toward what employers should consider when thinking about adopting a pet policy in the workplace in an article called The Benefits of Bringing Pets to Work. The beginning of the article reiterates what we have already heard about the benefits. Here they offer tips for pets in the workplace. Pets in the workplace are beneficial, but the proper steps should be taken by employers to ensure a healthy environment for pets and employees. Maintain good hygiene. Not only should employees be healthy at work to avoid spreading sickness, but pets should be as well. Pets should be groomed and clean, as well as free of contagions and fleas or ticks. Confirm vaccinations are up to date. Introduce new pets slowly. Pets are still animals and need to be acclimated appropriately to new environments, especially when there are other pets and people involved. New and unique environments can stress pets out and cause unusual or destructive behavior. Inform all employees of training and dietary needs. Employees have to respect and appreciate that their pet is not the only one in the workplace. They also need to understand just how well their pet is trained and what their dietary needs are. Some pets eat anything and as much as they can, leaving little to nothing for the less enthused pets. Respecting the workplace by training and observing pets can prevent any unseen issues. Employer awareness of unique factors. Naturally, there are some reservations to be had regarding pets in the workplace. While the benefits are numerous and outstanding, there are some obstacles that every employer should take into consideration. Additional costs for pet care and pet-proofing office. Pet costs range from $500 to $1,500 a year for one pet per year. Including pets in the workplace requires employers to take on some of these costs, such as food, toys, treats, and any miscellaneous accidental damage that naturally occurs when caring for pets. Pet and employee safety. Animals may act out for a plethora of reasons or for no reason, and they cannot be held accountable for their actions. Awareness and a plan to handle these incidences should be prepared and taken seriously. Industries involved in medicine, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, and foods may not be safe for the animal, the employee, or the consumer. Furthermore, pets in the workplace opens the road to legal issues that can actually create more stress and a negative work environment. Avoiding distraction. It is easy to become over-distracted by pets in the workplace and hinder productivity instead of promoting it. Allergies to pets. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America found that 15 to 30% of the total population has some kind of pet allergy. Employers need to be sensitive to employees with these allergies and the effects it may have on their workplace experience. You can read the entire article by visiting appliedpsychologydegree.usc.edu/blog/ the benefits of bringing pets to work. In a longer article part of the Workplace Anthropology series, Scientific American explores pets in the workplace, looking at it from the pet's perspective. Here is a portion of that article by Crystal DeCosta, The Rising Trend of Pets at Work. Are we thinking about the animals themselves? One area that the research rarely seems to address is the pet's response to being in a workplace environment. There are obviously situations where pets should not be present, food service operations or manufacturing factory settings where safety is a concern, for example, but pets may struggle in a normal office environment as well. Barbara J. King, Emerita Anthropology Professor at the College of William and Mary, who has spent her career researching on, writing about, and advocating for animals, pointed out in an email to me that the research is biased in our favor. We're thinking about our needs and how our pets help us, but we are not considering what they may need from their environment in these cases. Different animals may have different experiences. For some outgoing dogs, meeting unfamiliar people in a building with unfamiliar noises and smells will be fine, even welcome excitement. For others more shy, it may be a sensory overload to endure. Individual cats, bunnies, snakes, and other animals we keep as pets will have their own outlooks. King makes an important point about the individuality of pets, that a blanket statement on policy or the absence of a proper policy may overlook. Animals think and feel as individuals, she wrote. We shouldn't try to answer in aggregate, but rather on a case-by-case basis, just as we would, taking into account a human being's constellation of personality traits and needs. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.